You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I know that some in our audience know the finer points of hockey.
The Chris Johnston Show.
We are your friends.
The biggest stories, bringing you inside the game.
What did you hear?
The Chris Johnston Show.
What is going on?
Here's Chris with your host, Julian McKenzie.
Part of the game.
CJ, you told us at the end of our last podcast we would have new teammates. You were correct. Liz Knox, Kahele Maher, come together for a podcast called Knoxie and Cax, which is available now. You can get the new episode, the pilot episode for the podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts right now. I listened to it this morning. Very funny, very cool. Special guest, Jamie Lee Rattray. Sorry, English is failing me this morning. Jamie Lee Rattray is our guest on the podcast for their first episode. It's excellent. It's funny. You should check it out. CJ, I implore you to check it out. Maybe when you do your run today.
I probably should, because it's just fortuitous as it is. There was a time, I wish I could give you the year, a few years ago, we were doing a Puck Talks event. And I remember being in the back of the Rivoli Bar in downtown Toronto with Liz Knox, with Jamie Lee Rattray. They were part of the same show. I didn't know them ahead of time. And they had the Clarkson Cup there because they had won that. And we were having a couple adult beverages and they were telling some stories. It was good. So they were entertaining then. So I feel like I got a preview of the podcast before actually getting to hear the podcast.
For sure, because like it's just pure jokes between all three of them, and the stories, the banter they're going back and forth on. Like I bet that time when you were hanging out with them, you didn't know what you were discovering. You were realizing, hey, this could work for a podcast one day. But I implore everyone, everyone who's on Discord, everyone who's a fan of the SDPN, to check out the brand new podcast, Knoxie and Cax. I tell you, it's really funny. It's really cool. And I can't wait for more episodes. I know in the press release, they say they're going to have like a limited run. Like I hope they find a way to extend that, because it could be a really good podcast.
They've done one and you're already putting pressure on the boss, Adam.
No, I don't know. I think it could work. I think
sign them up
work.
For and more, Adam. Get off your wallet.
Tell you, man, that they could do it. We have a lot to get to on today's episode. Like I wrote down topics for today. And I didn't even account for the fact that like the Colorado Avalanche had they beat the Boston Bruins on Wednesday night, and Nathan MacKinnon took a massive hit from Taylor Hall. They still find a way to win that game. The Leafs win in a shootout against the Anaheim Ducks. Trevor Zegras obviously played against the Ducks. John Gibson was standing on his head. I kind of just wrote those things just like as afterthoughts, considering the different things I want to talk about. Of course, you cover the Leafs. Do you want to say anything about the fact that they got the job done on Wednesday night?
Well, yeah, they got the job done. They fell behind in the game and won. I got to tell you, I'm not going to dwell on this because I know I mentioned it before, but we got to get fans back in the building. Like, I hate that that's
my
team, but it's just like a game like that, you know, Colorado came back and tied, or sorry, pardon me, Anaheim came back and tied in the third period. It just would have been a cool game with fans, and you feel like you're missing something there. So hopefully something changes here soon.
Yeah, we'll get fans back surely enough, I'm sure. And more than just the small number. Like I know in Quebec, they're going to have it at 500 fans at some point. But actually, funny enough, later tonight, the Canadiens will play their first home game of 2022, and the first home game in since December, like mid-December.
Wow.
It's insane. They've basically
you were young when they last played a home game.
Yes, I was younger the last time they played a home game. There is something about the Leafs, and I guess more affecting Canadian teams, that I will get to at some point later today. I'm just going to throw topics at you. I mean, I kind of gave you an idea of what we're going to talk about yesterday, so we'll see how it goes. But I wanted to bring
up, bud. We can handle this. We don't need to schedule all the time.
I wanted to bring up, and I know we've discussed it on the podcast before. We've discussed the fact that his future in the NHL could be murky, but that depends on how what investigation lies and what results come from that. But we all know there are teams interested in him. It's that of Evander Kane. Your colleague at TSN, Darren Dreger, says that we could be seeing the results of the investigation. Of course, Evander Kane investigated for breaking COVID protocol, for allegedly breaking COVID protocol rules. We could be seeing the results of that later this week. And depending on what suspension may come, if any, it could eventually lead to him signing with either the Edmonton Oilers or a second team. I'm not sure who that second team might be. I've heard that the Washington Capitals might have been interested. Maybe it's them, but I'd like, if possible, for you to provide any insight on what you know about the Evander Kane dossier.
Well, there was some hope that the investigation would be wrapped up by Wednesday and an announcement made. And so that didn't happen because we're recording this Thursday morning.
Right.
But I would suggest to you that we are day to day in the sense it could come at any time. It's clearly, reaching its conclusion. I don't know what, if any, punishment is going to come of it. And I do think that does affect the outcome because, well, Evander Kane is expected to sign with the Edmonton Oilers. I think that's by far the number one landing destination for him. I'm not sure the Oilers are going to do it if there's some mega suspension that he has to serve first. And so I think all of that needs to be wrapped up and tied together. You know, the other team that is still in play is the Washington Capitals. You know, I've heard some whispers, a little bit unconfirmed at this time, but credible enough, I'll share that Alex Ovechkin might have called Evander Kane and expressed his interest in having him come to Washington. But, you know, I think Kane has felt the most love from Edmonton. I think the Oilers are most into it. The fit there, you know, which we talked about, is there with him getting to play with one of the two best centers on earth. And so I would expect that this will end up here in the next day or two with the investigation being completed, something being announced, and then Evander Kane signing in Edmonton. I think that's the way it's going. But the caveat being, if there's some long punishment he has to serve after traveling into Canada after a positive COVID diagnosis within 10 days, then I'm not sure the Oilers will be as might change their plans there.
I'm going to take Evander Kane out of this for just one second. CJ, imagine your youth hockey prowess has translated into a full-blown NHL career and you find yourself as a free agent on the UFA market. Alexander Ovechkin gives you a call and says, I want you to play for the Washington Capitals. Connor McDavid is also calling you saying, I want you to play for the Edmonton Oilers. Which phone call are you taking to heart? Which team are you picking?
Well, you have to evaluate what your true goal is, right? And we can all have simultaneous goals and you got to prioritize them, right? This is like when you're making a big life decision, you're writing down your pros and cons of each potential option. I think at this stage of Evander Kane's career, if we're being, let's just call it as it is, the man filed for bankruptcy more than a year ago. He's just had $23+ million remaining on his San Jose Sharks contract terminated. And I know there's a grievance there and maybe he'll get some of the money. We'll see how that plays out. But I think he's got to be concerned about his present day earnings and his future earnings. And to me, going to Edmonton, playing with Connor McDavid, a team that plays high octane offense, that has a great power play, is going to put him in the best position to have the best possible, however many games this ends up being, 30 games to finish the season, which is going to put him in the best position to earn a contract in the summertime, maybe in Edmonton, maybe somewhere else. We'll see how that plays out. If his only goal was to win a Stanley Cup, I think I would make a stronger case for Washington. I don't see the role being as guaranteed there. And, you know, he might be limited ice time. And I think at this point in his career, the man has to prioritize his future, honestly. I mean, it's not a bad thing to say. I mean, this is work, even though we it's a game for the rest of us on the outside. But this is a business. And, you know, I think he's got to make the best business decision. And so I'm taking Connor McDavid's call and I'm saying, yeah, 9-7, I'm coming to play with you, brother.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Because I get you had to include Evander Kane because he was the entry point for this conversation, but I was really hoping you'd go in and be like, you know what? I've scored 3 goals in 21 seconds. Like, imagine how many goals I could score in 30 seconds pulling on the same line of Connor and McDavid. I want you to put more of yourself in that question.
I couldn't even play on one of the Beer League alumni teams at this point for organizations. Like, I can't truly put myself in the conversation. Like, I was... 2 years away from being 2 years away from being 2 years away from being an actual prospect to make the NHL. So,
I think you're being too modest.
These guys are sick. Like, I'll say this, like, the cool thing for me about going to like a morning skate or a practice is you'll see the fourth line guy or a player that doesn't get much respect for his skill in that setting where he's not under the pressure of the time and how fast the game is. And like, those guys are just out there like going bar down. Like, the worst player in the NHL is so much better than I think the average person knows or thinks. Like, it's crazy the skill these guys have. And so, anyway, that's a long entry point to saying, like, I never threatened that league, man.
That's fine. Okay, that's fair.
Justin Williams from Cobourg, Ontario. He scored, like, 7 goals against us when we were kids. Like, he was the kid that scored 7 goals in, like, a 7-1 game. And you know, he didn't just barely make the NHL. He had a real good NHL career. But, like,
obviously.
My point is like, that's the only fair way to measure anything, because like, if we're going back in time, we're imagining an alternate universe, but he was had the same opportunities from the same hometown as me. And he was so much better than us. I still didn't think he'd make the NHL at the time. The NHL felt like 17 time zones away from where we were living and what we were doing. So anyway, shout out Justin, what a career and good reminder of how far the gap really was.
So wait, to be clear. So you said he scored against, so you got to play against Justin Williams.
Yeah, not only are we the same hometown, we're born 2 weeks apart. So we like there was only a limited window where he actually played in Cobourg because he was so good. He had to
take
competition and opportunities, you know, down the highway 30 minutes or whatever. But his early part of his career, we played against each other and he was insane. Like literally, it was like the video game. We couldn't stop him. But he actually, you know, his story is a reminder too. Like he got cut from a AAA team when he was like 15 or 16 and he was in the NHL at 18. But he had a moment where he was a teenager and actually briefly considered giving up the sport because he got sort of turned away and he didn't have a place to play. And, you know, he was pretty small, relatively speaking. And I think that at the time, that was largely why he got cut from that team, as a coach didn't think he could handle sort of the physical rigors of the game. And then the guy was in the NHL at 18. You know, tremendous story, super person. You know, come to know his family fairly well and, yeah, so we grew up together, but he was so much better than everyone, is my point, that no one else on the ice surface was even close to making the NHL because there's only one NHLer back in those days.
I love this story. I love the fact that we went on that tangent because that's just really cool for me to hear. I'll try to get us back on track here, and I want to bring up something that we actually didn't really get to in the last few days. But Justin Faulk of the St. Louis Blues.
Let me get a sip of coffee for that one.
Yes, of course. He was asked a couple of days ago about the Blues had some games to play up in Canada. And Justin Faulk, I believe a native of Minnesota, not thrilled about the possibility, not possibility, but not thrilled about the idea of playing games in Canada. We know about how the COVID restrictions are compared to what they are in the United States. And the Flames, they got the Blues and the Flames put against each other, and the Flames wax, bam, 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 like just a 7-1 demolishing. And one tweet you loved, especially from the Calgary Flames Twitter account. You're a big fan of them. We see why the Blues wanted to get out of Canada quickly. Yeesh. Just that was tough. I know you love that tweet, and I know those comments have kind of gone around, and I know a lot of people have gotten humor out of it, but like I feel like there's some truth, and I feel like there's something in what Justin Faulk said about Canada that I'm sure that other NHLers are thinking about, and I'm sure it could affect them, say, I don't know, for the trade deadline, if the possibility comes for them to be traded to a Canadian team, or free agency as we continue to maneuver through COVID. So I was just curious about your thoughts on that.
Well, it's a real thing. You know, like there's his comments. It's funny. He just said the quiet part out loud or whatever, right? Like he's not the only one thinking that. Like, I don't think other than the fact that we have to set up this sort of topic by mentioning Justin Falk's quote, this isn't really about Justin Falk. I think that what this hits on is there's a significant feeling behind the scenes that there's a lot of NHL players feeling this way. And I can't even say I blame them, right? I mean, they're traveling into Canada. They're seeing the difference in what life is. You know, all 25 U.S. markets where the NHL plays right now, there's no restaurant or bar restrictions. You don't see any, you know, tarped off seats the way we're seeing in the games in Canada. I mean, it is a totally different approach to the pandemic. Without even making a judgment on which is better, which is right, which is wrong, I think it's fair to say that some players want more freedom. I don't think it's a bad thing to say, but you know, as we look to the trade deadline, that's only March 21st. I mean, in some ways it's a long ways away, far enough still, it's hard to really cook up the hot rumors at this point, because, you know, I think that the trade market's still sort of taking its form, but you know, there is already a feeling that there's going to be players that just don't want to come to Canada. And, you know, that only affects a handful of Canadian teams. You know, the Leafs are certainly going to be out there trying to add to their team. As you know, the team in Canada with probably the best chance of winning the Stanley Cup, certainly the highest in the standings. But maybe Calgary, maybe Edmonton. We'll see where Vancouver's at. You know, these teams are going to have trouble getting players here. I don't think there's any way around it. Because look, the league's going to spend at least the next month in Ontario playing in empty buildings. I don't know the status of each province right now. When we'll see, you know, maybe we'll probably see full arenas in Alberta, I would think sooner than in the other provinces, but.
Max 500 people in Quebec. I forget. I think at some point in February, they're going to have that officially be a thing. The Canadians are going to play at home tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. And then on Saturday against the Oilers, actually. But yeah, they're going to be seeing some home games eventually with very little to no fans at their rinks.
Well, at the Saddle Dome, I know they opened the restaurants, but they didn't put they weren't serving alcohol. And Daryl Sutter was on a radio show there. And he said, yeah, but you can always sneak a Mickey in your boot. Which actually cracked me up.
Jesus. To Daryl Sutter. Jeez. Anyway.
I love the Daryl Sutter dry humor.
Yeah.
But I got to say that, yeah, like this is going to be a problem. I think this is, it's already on the radar of the teams. Agents are talking about it to people like me. And so Justin Falk, like everyone can have fun with his one comment and then, you know, St. Louis gets waxed and I love the Flames social team, by the way. I know I stick tacked social teams last week on Thursday, but I'm getting a real kick. Like they're on a heater right now. They're turning up the heat. It's been funny. But this is a larger issue. And, you know, Canadian teams, it might change the deadline. Honestly, like a team like the Leafs, you know, we saw Kyle Dubas make 5 trades before last year's deadline. I think he views his team largely the same this year that he's going to, I'm not saying there's a number of trades he wants to make. He's limited by cap restrictions and things, but you know, he's going to want to be out there adding to this team, but it just might not be possible. There might be not the players that he's interested in that he likes that they can make fit in their cap picture might not want to play in Canada. I mean, I would think that's a conversation they're going to have too. You know, it's not like everyone has a no trade clause. Obviously players can be traded sort of against their will or without their blessing, but you know, if anything's going to work, if a short-term relationship's going to work with a player, I think you're going to want to know he's comfortable with the situation. And so that's going to be a huge talking point, I think, as the deadline gets closer. It's just who wants to actually come up here and live in our lockdown life.
Yeah, and beyond that, when it comes time for free agency, we all know how big of a deal that is, especially in Canada, when it comes to where they're figuring out where players are going to go once they're unrestricted free agents. I'm sure even as we get to the summer, depending on how things go, some people might not even want to risk it and just say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to stay in the States as opposed to joining a Canadian team for boatloads of money. In certain cases, they may even have to overpay to bring them here. So yeah, this is something that could be, yeah, you're right. I like the way you're putting it. Like Justin Falk kind of said the quiet part out loud. Like it's, I don't know. It's something to think about.
Well, and here's the thing. Free agency, the one difference is, though, is players are paid in America no matter where they play. Like, that's the money true. Is the same. And so players will always still come up. And, you know, if the contract's good enough, you'll still get guys here. I mean, look at Blake Coleman, right? He's an American citizen, won 2 Stanley Cups in Tampa, signs in Calgary last year in the offseason and on a 6-year deal. So, you know, there still will be players that come to play here for the contract, but once you already have your contract, which is what guys already have now, like what they're going to be paid is the same the rest of the year, no matter where they play. I just think some of them are unwilling. I know, in fact, that there's players that are unwilling to come to Canada and under these circumstances. And it's just one more thing to navigate in addition to the cap, in addition to the flat cap, blah, 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 blah. For a team like the Leafs in particular, I think it's going to affect because, you know, I think all things being equal, they would be like to be aggressive at the deadline.
Yeah, considering there's guys like Jacob Chychrun out there who are looking for new homes. Like I was talking about with Justin Cuthbert earlier this week about whether or not the Leafs should be interested in a guy like Jacob Chychrun, who at his best could be a really good offensive defenseman, but he might just want to chill in Florida instead. He might want to go to LA or somewhere else.
Could be. I mean, I'll say the Leafs have inquired about him, but I don't sense that they're one of the teams really in on Chychrun. Like, I think that, yeah, you got a list there. Boston, Florida's still around. Sounds like the Rangers have cooled their interest, but you know, there's other American teams that I don't know of any Canadian teams that are hunting heavy for Jacob Chychrun.
Yeah, or John Klingberg is also another example. We can go through a whole list of players. We could easily do that, but maybe closer to the deadline if they haven't already been moved. Just because I know sure. It's still January, you know, the hot stove is like lukewarm right now, but we're seeing some names. Don't worry.
Real defensemen in particular, I think. Like, you got, you know, potentially the two guys at Anaheim, Hampus Lindholm and Josh Manson. You know, these aren't all the biggest names, but you got Ben Chiarot, Rasmus Ristolainen, Colin Miller, Calvin DeHaan, Klingberg, as you mentioned. You know, that's a lot of blue liners potentially to move. It's not, doesn't always shake out that way. That's just kind of how it's going. Oh, I didn't even mention Mark Giordano.
Nope.
In Seattle. So yeah, there's a bunch of players. I'm not saying they'll all be traded, but certainly like that's kind of the market for D. You know, it's a relevant topic when we're talking about the Leafs too, because, you know, I think it's a defenseman. The Leafs will ultimately, if they only make one deal, I'm guessing it's for a defenseman. They might end up making more than one, you know, might get a depth forward as well. But yeah, it hasn't taken form yet. I can't tell you exactly who and how and when and where, but, you know, part of the conversation that we've never had previous will that player want to come and live and play in Canada?
Yeah. Let's transition over to an American team, actually, the Philadelphia Flyers, who have found ways to be really bad. Remember, they had like a 10-game winless streak, and ultimately, Alain Vigneault had to go. They are still down bad. They're in the midst of a 13-game winless streak right now. Chuck Fletcher, the GM, spoke to the media, said they're in need of an aggressive retool. Now, where there's talk about Claude Giroux's future in Philadelphia. What do you make of the situation with the Philadelphia Flyers right now?
Well, Giroux's going to be interesting, right? I mean, if he gets traded by the deadline, that's a big name and a potentially big addition. Like, he's still a useful player at this stage of his career. I know he's playing the back nine right now. He's you know, the end is closer than the start. But, you know, it does sound as though it's going to be entirely up to Claude what he wants. And, you know, the plan as it stands right now is for Paperson and his agent to sit down with Giroux, you know, sometime next week. You know, there's the All-Star breaks next week. You know, start mapping out a plan. Maybe he's doing his list of pros and cons, man. You know, do you want to be an all-time Flyer? I mean, he's one of the legends of that franchise. Do you want to chase a Stanley Cup? Is that what's important? And, you know, ultimately, I think that he'll drive the bus here because he has a no movement clause. The good news for that is if he gets traded, he's going to a team that they feel has a chance to win a Stanley Cup. Reminds me a little bit of Jerome McGinley, right? Mm-hmm. When Jerome McGinley initially got traded out of Calgary, he had the choice of a couple teams. Ironically, Pittsburgh and Boston were two of them. He chose to go to Pittsburgh, and then they played in a playoff series, and Boston won on the way to going to the Stanley Cup final. In 2013, I guess that was. But, you know, it will be a similar type of situation where, you know, I'm sure Claude's only thinking about teams that are at the top of the league. We'll see if it's Colorado that has interest or someone else, and then he makes a call on it. So, you know, beyond that, there's definitely work to do for the Flyers. I mean, I mentioned Ristolainen. They have Keith Yandle as well on an expiring contract. You know, at minimum, you're trying to turn some of your current day players into future assets if you're Chuck Fletcher. I mean, they've had two losing streaks of one of 10 games and one longer than 10 games. That's ongoing. So, you know, I think it's clear that they're not rebounding and making a run for the playoffs unless lightning strikes. And so, you know, he got a vote of confidence, Chuck Fletcher, the GM, but the heat's up on him now to try to find some solutions here, open up some cap space and make some of those deals.
I don't know if you planned on having them being the person you're going to give a stick tap to, but you mentioned a pretty prime candidate for a stick tap in Keith Yandel, who tied the record for most consecutive games played by Doug Jarvis, the Iron Man Keith Yandel. But if that was your stick tap, you know, I don't want to step on toes. We could always keep that for the end. I just want to kind of make that plug there. You know, I know we're talking about the Flyers in bad times, but there's at least one positive you can at least
try. Well, 965 games it was, I think.
So like 64 is the record. I think 65 would break it.
Yeah, he broke it, right? So
right.
Like it's mind-boggling. It's insane. It's like 12 seasons in a row. I saw hockey. There's a hockey injury account. I'm sorry I don't have their Twitter handle right in my brain here. But they put out something like there's been like 18 defensemen that have played that same period of time that were in the league in 08, 09 and are still in the league today. And they've averaged the other 18 missing a year, like a whole season worth of games, like at least 82 games. And so there's some good fortune there. Obviously, you got to play through some stuff. There's no way you play that many games without being injured or sick or something along the way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a cool accomplishment. What's amazing, too, Phil Kessel is 24 games behind. So Phil Kessel will potentially here in the next month or so become the second all-time Iron Man. And,
yeah, consecutive games played holder.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to. I got tangled in the words in my mind, but he'll move into second on that list potentially, and could even pass Yandel if Yandel has to miss a game for any reason. So Yandel might end up having this record for like a month at some point. If he misses a game, Phil Kessel could get him at the wire.
Yeah, Keith Yandel broke the record. Sorry for saying he tied it. He did tie it, but he eventually broke the record. Sorry about that. But yeah, the Flyers are down bad, really bad. And I'm just curious, just before we go off the Flyers, I know we talked a little bit about Giroux.
Their CEO said that Chuck Fletcher has an open checkbook.
What does that mean?
I think that means that there's like no amount of money they're not willing to spend to try to win, which is great if you're a GM, great if you're an agent or a player. But honestly, what I thought when I heard that quote, and I know this is a bit of an old reference, but I wanted to go and get like Ilya Bryzgalov's buyout history. And be like, this is what happens when you operate with an open checkbook. Because they traded for Ilya Bryzgalov's rights. So they gave up an asset.
Yes.
For him. Then they gave him the monster contract. Then they bought him out within a couple seasons. And they're still paying. They're going to be paying him until like 2040 or something. Like, it's insane. Oh. Anyway, it's probably not actually 2040, but it's like it's a long, painful buyout. And so
I want it.
Look it up.
No, sorry. Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. I wanted to just look this up because that is painful. Oof. Like, he was a really entertaining guy, though. He was really great.
yeah. But I'm just saying, like, that's the danger when you operate with an open checkbook. Like, if you're not careful with how you're spending your money, you might end up owning a lightly used Ilya Bryzgalov for like 40 years.
Well, I'll tell you this. Cap Friendly says the buyout lasts. They'll be paying him essentially until 2027. So another right. 5 years of the Ilya Bryzgalov experience.
How much money do you get in season right
now? So the cost of it each season is $1,642,857 million.
Right. And now scroll down to the bottom and tell me what season he played his last game in.
It should be 2015.
Right. So he's already been getting paid for 7 years beyond his career, and he's going to get paid for 5 more years beyond his career. I mean, it's great. I mean, being bought out is never for players. I'm sure it's difficult, as much as I'm making light of it. You only get 66% of what you would have got of the total amount had you played all those seasons. But it's a pretty good way to ease into retirement, getting $1.6 million. You know, keep the cash flow going while you sort out your life. You know, Vinny LeCavalier had a pretty nice buyout. He actually had a nice contract after a nice buyout. I've always thought that there's worse things sometimes at the end of your career to get a buyout.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Absolutely. I want to talk about Aaron Dell of the Buffalo Sabres and the suspension he was handed that was handed to him for a hit he did on Drake Batherson of the Ottawa Senators. That is just pretty brutal from him. I know he's a goalie and all that, but that's just really tough to see a guy like Drake Batherson, who was going to the All-Star game, now out with an ankle injury. He's going to be out for some time, so he'll miss the NHL All-Star game. Unfortunately, Brady Tkachuk will go in his place. Adele has a history of kind of hitting these guys out in the open. I was just curious for your thoughts on the hit and Drake Batherson missing the All-Star game.
Well, you hate the outcome even more than the hit, right? I mean, like, the hit, it's a greasy play. There's no way around it. Aaron Dell deserves the 3-game suspension that NHL player safety gave to him. You know, it's sneaky, right? That Batherson has no way to really brace himself for that hit. He doesn't see it coming. It's kind of like leaning a cold shoulder into an unsuspecting player. And certainly, I think when you're a skater, you don't really expect the goaltender to come out and hit you in that spot. And so that helps lead to the dangerous play, you know, because it's so close to the boards. And we saw the outcome. You know, sucks for Drake Batherson. I mean, he's had a great year, actually. I mean, it hasn't been a great year for the Senators. They're a little bit of a forgotten team. They were shut down by COVID early. They've just had a tough season. I think people are hoping or thinking that this might be a year where they take a step forward because they were so competitive last year in the North Division. But I do think it's too bad that Batherson's going to miss his time. High ankle sprain is a terrible injury from what I've heard from players. Like, you just don't feel comfortable for a long time. Like, it's a strange part of the body. Obviously, the ankle is important, getting in the skate boot and how you feel. And so, brutal play. 3-game suspension, it's a lot. When's the last goalie to be suspended? I feel like it's been a long time. And, you know, that's the right call in this situation. Just really feel for a good young player in Batherson. He can't go to the All-Star game. Like, that could be a once-in-a-lifetime for him, missed opportunity. Who knows if he'll be named to a future team. And then, you know, to have this kind of season derailed where he was putting up a lot of points and playing well.
I believe Ian Mendez, in one of his last articles for The Athletic, mentioned that I think Ray Emery was suspended, I think, 2007 for slashing Maxim Lapierre when he was with the Canadians. That's like 2007. That's like the last time I can think of a goalie being suspended. Obviously, if I'm wrong, just put it in the comments, I guess. But that's as far back as I can remember. So maybe there's someone else, but yeah, it's been a minute.
It's basically what we're saying. Like, yeah. This is like a once in a decade kind of thing. So it's such an unusual hit. I mean, I hated it. The minute you saw it, just like, and then you see the guy injured. I don't know. Just some injuries happen in the course of the way the game is played. It's a physical game. Things happen sometimes. It's just unfortunate. There's nothing that can be done. I would actually put the Nathan MacKinnon injury, if you saw it, Julian, on Wednesday night, in that category. Yes. Like, I don't think it's a dirty hit. It's just unfortunate. His stick. Taylor Hall hits him. Hits Nathan's stick, goes right into his face. He loses teeth and lots of blood on the ice. Like, that's just unfortunate. Like, there's no bad intent there. I don't think there was a bad hit or anything. This is bad intent, bad outcome. Like, I hate that because it was totally preventable.
That is so scary that you brought up that hit, because literally as we were talking about it, I was like, I wonder if there's a way to bring up the Avalanche Bruins game. And you literally just said it. We've done the podcast long enough that we're speaking telepathically now.
One brain, brother.
Yeah,
we're that like hit 5 months weird. Into having a group chat. We're talking twice a week. We're setting up these Zooms. I have my morning coffee with you. It's great.
It happens.
We're going to be in the same room soon. I want to manifest that. I don't have a plan yet. But we gotta do this in person again soon. We gotta get producer Nick in the room. We got a new member of the squad.
Shout out producer Nick.
We gotta figure something out. Maybe you come to Toronto again. We get into Adam's basement. I don't know what the play is, but we gotta figure something out. But
I don't know how March break works for you guys, but I'll find a way to just hang out or something. I don't know. We'll make something work. No worries.
I tell you, I got a road trip coming up.
Aren't you going to Vegas?
I'm going to Vegas next week. I'm pretty pumped.
Yes, sir. Because you're going to be there for the All-Star game, obviously.
Yes. And I got to be full confession because I'm real with my people on the CJ show. But the All-Star game in the old world was like one of my least favorite things to cover. You know, back in those days, I traveled. well, back in those days, I traveled too much, almost, honestly. Mm-hmm. I traveled a ton. And so like one more trip to go cover sort of a fake event, like it's not an event, you know, it just felt it. I didn't enjoy it. And it's just funny how your perception of something changes because, you know, we're in a time where I really haven't been traveling very much. You know, I'm kind of bummed out by this weather. We're like, not to get into friggin' weather, but we've had a ton of snow by Toronto standards. It's cold. You know, the lockdowns are in place. You can't really do anything. Like, and so I'm just so excited to go and see people, see other reporters. You know, there's some NHL reporters that I used to see almost like an extended family. I would just see them in the course of the season once a month or every 2 months, just here, there, whatever. Like there's some I haven't seen in 2 years. You know, I covered the last two Stanley Cup finals. I was at the bubble in Edmonton in 2020 and I was, you know, in Tampa for the Tampa Montreal series. But like a lot of reporters just didn't travel because of their work situations or what have you. And so I'm so pumped to go to an All-Star game. And I think it's hilarious that I used to be the big grump, like, oh, I've got to go to All-Star. And now I'm just like, I'm ready to pack my bag today, man. Like, let's go.
And go to Vegas of all places.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be, it's not going to be 20-year-old CJ going to Vegas. It's 40-year-old CJ going to Vegas. So, and I got to work. So it's not going to be like, nothing crazy is going to happen. I'm not going to be like in one of those movies. No Hunter S. Thompson action here, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. But, you know, probably play a little bit of blackjack. Might lay down a sports bet or two, have a couple beers and see some friends. It's going to be great.
Okay. Well, it's okay. So as long as it's not going on like The Hangover or any of the Hangover movies, I think you'll be okay.
Now, famous last words. And because it's honest, if that ends up happening, if that ends up happening, I'll let you know on the show.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, you heard it here first from CJ. Yes, please.
This is safe enough now. I mean, it's not that big a deal, but
okay. So, let's see.
The last game that Mike Babcock coached with the Leafs was in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Tuesday night, and it's actually a really good game. The Leafs showed a lot of life in it, but they lost by goal. Marc-Andre Fleury made a ridiculous save, I believe, on Nick Pettan in the third period. Anyway.
Yes, he did.
Everyone sort of knows Mike Babcock's on life support at that time. Like it was in the air, put it that way. And so after the game, it was with James Myrtle at the Athletic, and we go back to the Cosmopolitan Hotel, and you know we're just having a beer, like the quietest night ever, Tuesday night, nothing wild going on, and this Leafs fan comes up and recognizes us and really nice guy and ends up chatting with us and then like ordering drinks, ordering shots. You know, it's Vegas. Like they just never turn off the bar. Like I have no idea what time we get to bed, but it's late. And we were well served.
Yes.
I had to wake up first thing in the morning, like at like 5 a.m. Luckily I had my cameraman from Sportsnet when I was working at Sports at the time, driving me to Arizona. So I literally just had to like get my stuff to the lobby and myself and get in his van and then fall asleep in the back seat. This guy drives to Arizona. You can imagine how I'm feeling. No sleep.
Yeah.
Unexpected big night. And then we get there, watch practice, and Mike Babcock gets fired and I got to work for like 12 more hours or something. Like,
oh my God.
Not at my best, put it that way. So that was actually the last time I was in Vegas was that night. And I didn't leave on a high note. And that's an example where literally there was no mischief in the air. Like literally it's just like, oh, we just filed our stories. Let's have a drink, decompress. And then like 5 hours later, we're there, the random Leaf fan just buying us copious amounts of alcohol. So maybe that's I'll amazing. Fall into a hole like that again.
Well, it's alcohol and not whatever funny stuff you got, the Saddle Dome that one time.
No, that was just alcohol. and nothing wild happened other than we just sat there drinking it and talking about hockey. And like, it wasn't like we went out to some club or anything after, but it was not what was needed in that moment. It was not a good situational awareness decision by CJ where it's like, okay, tomorrow might be a big day of work. Maybe you want to just slow it down. No, put the pedal down and had to play banged up the next day.
For everyone listening and hearing the tangent that's going on here, yes, we are buying time ahead of the Jeff Carter news that he signed a 2-year contract extension with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, yeah, that's great and all, but we all know what the people want with Jeff Carter, right?
So here's where we're at. I got to show my work.
Yes.
I got a tip that his dad's name is Jim.
Yes.
Do you know this?
Yeah, I know this. Yes.
And so that there's some thought that that's his middle name. But then I checked with someone who would know, and they didn't think that's it, like Jim or James. And they said that's not his middle name. And so
it's not Jim.
Well, I'm just letting you know where I'm at. I thought we had a big breakthrough. Then I checked with someone who can like look this up, and it said it's not his middle name. So it's,
this is a mystery.
Again, this is a COVID mystery, because in a world where I could just go to in the Penguins dressing room on a morning skate, I would absolutely go up to him and like tell him this funny story. And I'm sure he would just go, this is my middle name. I'm named after my uncle or whatever, you know, whatever the story, people usually have a story with their middle name, and it would be over. And this would have been done with like in October, but like, I'm not calling his agent, or like, with all due respect to the people. I mean, I work for the people on this show, but like, I'm not going to like actually go to someone serious on this unless it gets to that point. This is one of those weird things. I actually want to laugh. Like, how is this a thing that we're still talking about?
I don't know. What's funny is because Pierre LeBrun tweeted about the extension, and someone in the comments straight up was like, what's his middle name? And like tagged us. So I was just like, this is insane.
I love it too, because like, if Pierre looks at his comments, which he probably doesn't, like, if he saw that, he'd be like, what is this about? Like, he would have no idea, right? Like this is like a conversation we're having with our listeners, that, and everyone's in on the joke, but like nobody else, like that doesn't listen to the show, they'd be like, who cares Jeff Carter's middle name? You know, middle names, everyone's got one, more or less. I mean,
I have two.
Do you?
I have two middle names. My middle name is Kari Alexander. Those are my two middle names. So my full name is Julian. Kari is a Nigerian word for king.
Alexander.
Yes, exactly. Royalty, you know what I'm saying? And then Alexander, I actually don't remember why Alexander is there. I know my sister Kayla, I think she has Alexandria in her middle name. But yeah, just Alexander is just like a name that's just kind of there, I guess. But yeah, I have two middle names. I always just assumed that people for the longest time all had two middle names. So when I saw people with one middle name, I was like, what? Like, that's a thing? Like, Jerome McGinley has like 7 or 9. A whole bunch of people have like a bunch of middle names, but like,
some people have no middle
names. That's true. What's your middle name?
So here's the story. Anyone who's seen me in person or see me standing on a box on TV will understand I'm not the tallest fellow in the world.
You are not. But
I had a grandfather, my mom's dad, who actually played in the CFL. And he was a rather large man, 6'3", give or take. And so when I was born, I guess I had abnormally large feet for a baby. And there was some hope, I guess, in the family, or some thought that maybe I had gotten the genetics from my grandfather's side of the family, or my grandfather specifically, versus my dad, who's literally the same height as me, which is shorter than 5'9". And so they named me, my middle name is Edward for my mom's dad, my grandfather. But alas, I didn't carry over any of Edward's physical properties, because I'm also about 5'7 or 5'8.
You're about like, I think we're about the same height, or am I like a little taller than you? I think we're about the same height.
What are you? I think I haven't measured, but I'm about 5'7 or 5'8. I don't actually know
I'm 5'9.
I was going to say, I'm not doing the NHL player thing where everyone gets to add on a couple inches to their height.
No,
like that's the real height. I just don't actually know precisely what it is, but it's in that range.
No, I think I'm 5'9 I like to say I'm 5'9 on a good day, but I think I'm genuinely 5'9. So I might have like an inch on you. So if you're like 5'7", 5'8", like I know I'm not that.
Next time we're in person, we're going to measure ourselves. And we're going to show the receipts. Like, we're going to give our real stats. I mean, we don't have to do your weight or anything, but we're going to get You got a pandemic 10 going on now, or what? What are you saying here?
Like I said, let's not talk about my weight. I look all right. I'm doing pretty well. I'm good with the weight. Like,
I'm wondering why you're worried.
No, I'm good with what I got going on. You know, it's great. It's just, I don't know. It's just, I don't need everyone knowing that I'm like, I don't know, whatever weight I'm at right now. I didn't weigh myself this morning.
We're gonna get the real heights though. We're gonna have to put a trading card at some point, and we got to have the real stats on it.
Absolutely. I'll also say on my end, I've tried asking around about Jeff Carter's name, and no, I've gotten nothing so far. But my thinking was that Jim would be the name, because I forget where I read it somewhere, but I think his, but I believe his dad's name is Jim. So I was led to believe that
that would be a good guess. That was a tip from a listener. So
Jim, I thought it would be Jim, but like it could be like, it could be James, could be Jiminy, could be anybody.
Maybe it's Jeff.
You think it's Jeffrey Jeff?
I don't, but that would be a funny outcome if that was the case, because then it would actually be sort of notable what his middle name is. But
okay, well, just to everyone who asked, because I did say, I think on an episode last week, that we would have a breakthrough. We're still at a point where we're trying to get this middle name. And when we find that middle name, we're going to talk all about it on the CJ show.
I wonder if that new contract carries his middle name.
That's what I'm thinking. I feel like that's the time to do it.
I could probably ask someone who has an ability to look at that contract, to look at that contract and tell me.
Hey, man, look, next week's
episode. That might be the breakthrough we need, him signing a new deal. He's had a good season, too. Like, honestly, I know we're not here to talk about Jeff Carter, but like, he's actually like, he was getting to the end of the year. I actually had a reporter reach out to me from Switzerland earlier in the season, and he'd heard a rumor Jeff Carter was going to sign over there next year and just was wondering if it was true. And so my point is, I think when Pittsburgh acquired him from LA last year, the thought was, yeah, play out the last season and a half of his, you know, it might be the end. But earning that 2-year extension tells you something about, you know, how good he's been.
Absolutely. I think 26 points in 36 games this year for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's 12 goals on that, because we know he is a goal scorer. But yeah, Jeff Carter, we'll get your middle name at some point, but he's having himself a good year. I think I've cleared the deck, unless there was anything else you want to add on something that we talked about earlier that we missed.
You wonder if I got any more random stories I want to share about drunken nights in Vegas, or...
I was just good for a trade rumor, but if you want to go there, by all means. We could save that for when we talk in person, but stick taps. I believe it is stick taps time. And I brought a mini stick.
You're up in your game.
Yeah, I don't know. So I forget who on Discord made the point that having a mini stick for stick taps would enhance it. I didn't want to bring like an actual like hockey stick. I figured it would just be a lot better just to have a mini stick. So
can we get it decorated with like our faces or something?
We could. You know what? This would actually be a good idea to just get like a mini stick that you just put stickers of like face of our faces on it. Or, hey, SDPN branded mini sticks. Like, that would be a good idea.
We could even add pictures of the people we shout out.
Yes. I like that idea.
That's a great idea.
That could be a lot of work.
I don't know how much arts and crafts you want to do, but that's a lot of commitment, but that would be kind of cool.
That would be cool. That's something I got to look into with decorating. I'm not a great big decorator, but I think with this particular mini stick that I have, which I realize for people listening, you don't see it, but I'm holding a white Franklin branded mini stick, an NHL. There's some NHL typeface written in lime green. I also have a lime green goalie stick that maybe I'll bring out for a few other stick taps later in the season. Why not? But yeah, why not have it with some of the people that we shout out? Did you want to start or should I start?
Sure. I'm going to shout out the Canadian men's Olympic team.
Yes.
Because we spent a lot of time in the first part of this season talking about the NHL and what Team Canada might look like. I think it shouldn't be lost that just because we don't get that, like how cool this is for a guy like Josh Hosang, for example, you know, who started the year on a PTO with the Maple Leafs, really didn't know what his future was. He played in Sweden last year and, you know, he's had a good year in the American Hockey League, and it gives him a chance because he didn't have an NHL contract. The interesting part actually is that I know there was some discussion with Josh Hosang about upgrading his deal at some point to an NHL deal. And he didn't sign that because the Olympic opportunity was in the air and he wanted to have this chance to go represent Team Canada. So that's cool. I mean, Eric Staal at the other end of his career, I know we've talked about him, but you know, him getting to go to another Olympics, won a gold medal in 2010, you know, right down that roster, even players that I don't know that well, like I'm excited to learn more about these guys to see what it means to them. And I think it's going to be a cool Olympic tournament, even without the NHL best on best. As bad as I wanted to see that, you know, and it's not just Canada, the other countries too, but the Canadian team was named here in the last couple of days. And I want to give those guys some props.
Absolutely. I'll just simulate a stick tap clap, I guess. I figure it'd be a lot less noisy than tapping on my, or you know what, the sound on my table's not so bad, I guess. But yeah, stick taps to those gentlemen. A lot of former Montreal Canadiens on that team, between Eric Staal, Marc Barberio, David Dernais on that team as well. There should be more names in my head, but those are
I'm pumped to see Owen Power, right?
Him too, of course. Absolutely.
I can't remember who, I think it was Barberio maybe, said that he reminds him of Victor Hedman. And said that Buffalo would have 10 more wins this season if he was in the NHL rather than playing the NCAA. So, I mean, like, that's going to be cool. You got Devin Levi in net, you know, was at the World Juniors not so long ago. Like, it's a mix of the young and old. Daniel Winnick, like a lot of guys, frankly, and I don't mean to be smug about this, but like, you didn't even realize some of these guys were still playing over in Europe. And so, I mean, imagine, I'll say this, like, going to the Olympics was the best assignments of my career. I've been to two, Vancouver and Sochi, 2014. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the feeling I had when you're at the Olympics, even as messed up as this one is going to be, I'm sure with restrictions and, you know, it's not going to feel maybe quite the same, but like, you feel, you can't help but reflect on where you came from when you're at the Olympics. Like, I think if you're selling popcorn at the Olympics, you feel proud of your family or people maybe that have had, you know, a positive influence in your life to help you get there, to put you in a position where you could ever be chosen to go to the Olympics. And so I think this is going to be really cool. You know, for these players that would never have maybe guessed they get a chance to do that.
My stick tap is actually going to go to anyone just trying to take care of their mental health. We know what this week is with the Bell Let's Talk initiative. I understand that with the way Bell Let's Talk is, I understand it's a bit divisive for some people for external things. So I'm not here trying to advocate for Bell or anything, more just for the discussion of mental health, because I think any day, every day or any day is a good way to talk about, it's just a good time to talk about your mental health. You know, whether you're going through good times, whether you're going through bad times, it's good to just talk to someone or just take the steps you need to ensure that your mentals are taken care of. And I understand that this week is a reminder for that, but I just would like to take the time to say to anyone looking to take steps to improve themselves, feel better about themselves, or just, you know, do anything just to make, just to, you know, help their mind be at ease and just help their mental health. A big salute to you, because it's tough. We all know we're all going through crappy times with the pandemic, but I still think we can make the most of what we have in front of us. And that comes from improving your mental health. So salute to everybody.
Or just show yourself some grace. Absolutely. Don't be too hard on yourself. I mean, I think at various times we're all too guilty of that. We think we should be doing something different than we are, or being better at something, being more successful, what have you. I mean, just remember, you don't have to win every single day. You know, sometimes just getting through it is important.
Absolutely. And that concludes Stick Taps, and that concludes the Thursday edition of the Chris Johnston Show. CJ, I can't thank you enough for just being you and being an amazing person and doing these shows with you. Honestly, I'm just eternally grateful I get to do this, and I'm eternally grateful that, you know, I get to ride shotgun with you for this, man. So thank you. Thank you. Seriously.
Thank you, brother. Honestly, it's awesome. This has worked out great. We're going on the road next week. This is a good time.
Well, you're going on the road. I'm staying in my house.
Okay. You'll have to familiar setup. I'll be like very clearly in a hotel room.
Drinking margaritas.
Okay. Some work has to get done, man.
I didn't say you weren't going to work.
Right. Just in the office hours, just a margarita.
Yeah, sure. It's just like, I mean, then again, maybe because of YouTube rules, it's probably not a good idea that you drink on camera. But, you know, I'm not going to stop you from having your fun. Well, of course, you got to get some work in too while you're in Las Vegas. But yeah, if you see a different backdrop from CJ next week, that's the reason why. That being said, speaking of next week, on Monday, brand new episode, of course, get your questions in starting now. Whether on our Discord, we have a channel set up for questions for the CJ podcast, or on Twitter, just use the hashtag AskCJ and send in whatever question you want. It could be a question about a particular trade rumor you might have read on some blog somewhere. It could be, hey, CJ, do you like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Or yeah, that's a hard yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there goes that question. That's one last question you can ask to CJ, but he will answer it in the column that he puts together for the Toronto Star and other stuff that could end up on this podcast as well. CJ, the homie from North Star Bets, check out that stuff because that's going to blow up. I'm telling you, man, some good opportunities there. We know it's in the Toronto Star, but North Star Bets is the place where CJ does his stuff for. And of course, with The Athletic, I should have an article coming out fairly soon, if it's not out already. If you like NHL 22, today is the day where a patch update's supposed to go through where you can actually play some of the women's players for Team Canada, Team USA. So you can play as like Marie-Philippe Poulin, Hillary Knight. I've seen some of like the ratings go out for some of the players. I think Marie-Philippe Poulin is like the highest rated player.
You're Atre or what?
I'm sure. Yes, absolutely. Like they have all the Team Canada like rosters, squads and all that. You can even play through the Women's World Championship as well. Like it's like the fact that we have like Noxie and Cax podcast and then, you know, you can just go play NHL and play as them. Like that's, well, I know they're out the Olympics, but still you can play like as like Team Canada, Team USA and some of the other teams. Like that's freaking cool. That's
it
awesome.
Is cool. It's kind of perfect insane timing. Taking this long to yes. Like that hasn't happened prior to this, but let's celebrate the fact that's here rather than what didn't happen 10 years ago.
Absolutely. And that's going to do it for CJ. I'm Julian saying so long and peace.
Peace, bro.
Take care of your mentals, everybody.
The Chris Johnston Show. Inside the game twice a week. Follow Chris on Twitter @ReporterChris and follow Julian McKenzie @JK and McKenzie.